Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Pastor Vic's Nugget of Truth. I'm sure you've heard the quote from Shakespeare, to be or not to be, that is the question. Well, I want to ask a slightly different question, and that is, as Christians, to be or to do, that is the question. So is it more important to be a Christian, or is it more important to do as a Christian? And that's the answer we're going to try to arrive at by the end of this post. Now, in the last post, we concluded that confidence was of the soul and faith is of the spirit. Two different entities. Very, very often interchanged and mixed together, but actually two separate ideas. With confidence, we move or we motivate others to follow us, whereas faith moves God to show himself strong on our behalf. In the natural, some people are just effortlessly confident. It just comes by them naturally. They're optimistic in nature. They see the cup as being half filled instead of being half empty. They're looking at the bright side of things. And they are often the ones who make a success of what they put their minds to. You see, their confidence is on their natural ability, their natural skills, or their talents. Then, on the other hand, there are those who seem to lack confidence, and they tend to see the cup as being half empty instead of half full. You know, people often refer to them as having a pessimistic outlook. They seem to be naturally timid or lack confidence. They're often focused on their lack of natural ability, their skills, or their talents. They're often afraid to take risk and will often settle for just about getting by in life. Their lack of confidence is on their natural ability, skills, or talents. But as believers in Jesus Christ, our confidence is not in our own natural abilities or skills or talents, but our growing faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. So whether you're confident in yourself or you're not confident in yourself, it's not the question, it's not the issue. The issue is faith, which is spiritual. The issue is faith in what Jesus says about you and his power and authority, which is made available to you. Do you believe him? Do you believe the scriptures? And if you do, you will act it out. If you don't, you will pull back. Now, when you learn to walk by faith and not by sight, your confidence will just naturally grow and others will recognize that there's something different about you. You know God in a personal way. Now, the only way to operate in faith and confidence is to know the heart of Father God. Knowing the heart of the Father requires that we understand from the scriptures, number one, his purpose, the purpose of God, and that is what prompts him to action, his motivation. I mean, think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever might believe upon him would not perish, but have eternal life. See, that is God's motivation to redeem mankind back to himself through Jesus Christ. The second part of this is what we call the process of the Father. That is how he performs that action, his outworking. And of course, the greatest performance of that outworking is in that he sent Jesus Christ, God 100%, man 100%, to show us the way. Now, once we understand the purpose and the process of the Father, then we can begin to understand our purpose and the process to which God has called us to. You see, our purpose and our process needs to line up with Jesus's purpose and his process. So there's both a process and the purpose, a purpose and the process. Again, the purpose has to do with the mission. The process has to do with how the mission is fulfilled. As Christians, we often confuse the two together, purpose and process. We try to do instead of first learning how to be. The Bible teaches that we're not just servants, but we are first sons. Romans 8, 14 through 17 tells us that. We are sons, but we are called to serve. Our purpose is not to be doing many things for God, just doing things that has to do with the process, as we'll see in a few moments. Our purpose is to first walk in relationship with our Father through Jesus Christ with the help of the Holy Spirit, so that we could see ourselves as sons and daughters. Romans 8:16 and 17 says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." Joint heirs with Christ. That's so important. That simply means what is his becomes mine, and what is mine becomes his. And so when we look at the apostles' teaching on the believer's relationship as sons, this is a key concept, a key principle in the life of the believer. In the very last chapter of the book of Acts, in the very last verse of that chapter, the scripture says of the apostle Paul that he, preaching the kingdom of God, teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no one forbidding him. That was Acts 28:31. In other words, not only did Paul have tremendous faith in Jesus Christ, but it translated into a confidence which others could see. Now, as we said a minute ago, the ministry of Paul was characterized by this personal trait of confidence. And this confidence was more than just boldness or recklessness. This confidence was birthed out of Paul's understanding of who he was in Jesus Christ, in the same way that you need to understand who you are in Jesus Christ. Paul understood that being a believer in Jesus meant more than conquering sin and death. Paul understood that being a believer meant that he was called to live in a new position, and a new position for the rest of his life. Now, this new position in life was to live as a son whose father is God. Scripture tells us that in Hebrews 2, verses 10 through 11, that for it was fitting for him, for whom all things and by whom all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. See, Jesus is not ashamed to call you brother, to call you sister, because you have put your faith in him. We're adopted as sons, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. That's Ephesians 1:5. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's John 1:12. Because of our sonship position, we have access to God. Ephesians 2:18 says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to the Father." And as sons, we're called to serve. I refer you to the parable of the two sons, Matthew 21:28. And remember, there was one son who said yes to the father, but didn't do what the father had asked. And the other son at first said, "No, I'm not going to do what you want." But in the end, he did what he wanted. And so the question was, who obeyed the father? Of course, it's the one who did what the father said. Now, we often define ourselves by what we do for a living. If I asked you right now, what would some of you answer? Well, I think some of you would say, "Well, I'm a farmer, or maybe a plumber, or a businessman, a teacher, or a minister." But see, Paul did not define himself by what he did for a living or his ministry. But he defined himself by what God said of him. God said he was a son. And therefore, Paul chose to live as a son. Paul saw himself as a son who chose to serve his father. After all, isn't that what Jesus demonstrated throughout his entire life? Obedience to the Father. And the scriptures say in Philippians 2:18, "And being found in appearance as a man," speaking of Jesus, "he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now let's take a closer look at this idea that we're sons. I did this teaching a couple of years ago, and so it may sound familiar if you've been following my blogs. But in Galatians 3, 26 through 29, let me read to you what it says. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ. In other words, God shows no partiality. Then verse 29 says, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Again, verse 28 makes no distinction between position or gender or status or reputation. All that is required is to be in Christ. Notice also that God does not distinguish between male and female. That means sonship is not about gender, but sonship is about position in Christ. Now, I know it'll seem odd to us, but it's perfectly acceptable, at least to God, that a female can be a son in position. And that's what we're talking about, our position in Christ. And then in verse 29, sons are declared to be heirs. That means we have access to the promises of God because, listen to this, only sons can inherit. Remember, we are co-heirs with Christ, and therefore, as sons, we inherit. Paul continues to teach about sonship in Galatians 4, verses 4 through 7. And it says, but when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son, the Holy Spirit, into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but you are a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. You see, confidence happens when you understand that your identity is to live by faith as a son. You're not defined by what you do for a living, but what God says of you. What God says is who you are. You are a son. Now, I used to give this illustration about back in the 1800s, there was a story about a soldier by the name of Nicholas Chauvin. He was a private in Napoleon Bonaparte's army. And Private Chauvin was standing at attention while the King Napoleon was reviewing the troops, and he was riding on his white horse. And for some reason, the horse became startled. Napoleon dropped the reins, and the horse ran out of control with Napoleon still on the horse. Now, immediately, Private Chauvin ran after the king, grabbed the reins, calmed the horse, and brought Napoleon to safety. Pay close attention now. Napoleon said, "What is your name, soldier?" To which Private Chauvin said, "My name is Private Chauvin, sir." The king then said, "Thank you, Captain Chauvin." Immediately, Chauvin went to his quarters. He took off his enlisted uniform and replaced it with that of an officer, that of a captain, from private to captain in an instant. His fellow soldiers began to ridicule him and challenge him for the right to wear the uniform of an officer, to which Captain Chauvin said, "I have the right to wear this uniform because my king called me captain. Your king calls you son." Come on, can you grab a hold of that? Because as a son, you inherit the promises of God. Let me give you some scriptures to look at in terms of inheriting that which is the promises of God. You know, Matthew 5:16, Matthew 5:48, Matthew 6:1, Matthew 6:8, Mark 11:25, Luke 6:36. Isn't that wonderful? And you have access to the throne room of God. And the scriptures tell us in John 14:6, Ephesians 2:18, Ephesians 3:12. God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. The proof of that is in the scriptures, Romans 8, 9, Romans 8, 11, 1 Corinthians 3, 16, 1 Corinthians 6, 19, Ephesians 5, 18, 2 Timothy 1, 14. And supernatural power and authority are available to you to fulfill God's ministry, his mission, or his assignment. And we see that in Luke 10, verses 19 through 20, John 16, verse 7, Acts 1, 8, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, 1 John 4, 4. And you, when you recognize that you are a son, recognize that you are anointed for service. 2 Corinthians 1, 21. Jesus purchased your position as a son. His death on the on Calvary's cross opened the door into a new covenant. And that new covenant describes our new relationship with God. All things are made new, and all things are made possible because you are anointed with the Spirit of God, and with the Holy Spirit is all power and authority. And so I encourage you to begin to see yourself as a son. Speak to yourself. Meditate on these verses in the scripture. Realize that God has a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. But you'll never step into it until you recognize that you are a son through Jesus Christ. You are a co-heir. And then what you'll see is that your faith in your sonship, your faith in Jesus Christ, will reproduce itself in confidence in every area of your life. Now, I hope that word encourages you, and we're out of time now, so God bless you, and press into him. Remember Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says that it is impossible to please God without faith. Those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Continue to pursue him, and you will see supernatural things take place in your life. God bless you. See you the next time.